a Christmas message that Master wrote many years ago. In the silence of my soul I cry, Divine Mother, manifest thyself as Christ consciousness to all men. Divine Mother, take complete possession of our lives. Divine Christ, forget us not, though we forget thee. Remember us, though we remember thee not. Be not indifferent to us, though we are indifferent to thee. May thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion, and may we be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. The happiness which God gives is greater than anything the world can offer. Divine joy is enduring, eternal. When everything else melts away, that joy remains. If you would experience this joy, spend more of your time in solitude. Remember, the only real happiness is in communing with God in meditation. Although you meditate 2 or 3 hours at night, and then sing and talk to Him, at first you will find no response. Then suddenly, a light will appear. Suddenly, a fragrance will come. This is the way that God manifests Himself to man, but it requires great persistence on your part. Separate yourself from your thoughts and emotions. Keep a secret room in your soul for Christ. And when you retire there to meditate deeply, you will find great happiness. The whole ocean of joy rolls beneath the little wave of your consciousness. Do not be satisfied with a little silence. Go on endlessly. It requires a relentless pursuit of day and night meditation to get results. Just behind your eyes, just behind your thoughts, just behind your feelings is God. When you are calm, the whole universe of happiness drops beneath your consciousness. The whole universe talks to you. That is God speaking to you. Absence of physical light is darkness, but spiritual light shines everywhere, even in the darkness. Behind physical darkness is light when, in meditation, you pierce the darkness, you behold the spiritual eye. It is behind these clouds of darkness, with closed eyes, that Christ is perceived. Through the spiritual eye, you can come into the sphere of awakened silence. Prepare your mind and meditate until your entire consciousness passes through the telescopic eye and beholds Christ's consciousness now. Christ must be reborn in your consciousness first. You must perceive Him in spirit, and then you will be able to see Him in the body. Meditate so deeply and so strongly today that you feel Him and know that He is real and not just mere imagination. Christ is real. He must come to you, that you will obtain this happiness. This unending joy is in Christ is my Christmas wish for you. If you want real emancipation, do not waste your time. If you want to be prince of the world and conquer fear, decrease, decease, suffering, and death. Oh, that's disease. Suffering and death. Do not go to bed until you make contact with God. Do not go to sleep unless you feel that He is with you. If you will do this every day, you will see such happiness come into your life that it goes beyond all understanding. You must make the effort, but the effort will be worthwhile. Follow the way of the Christ and do not give up. Your most important engagement is with God. And the way to meet Him is through persistent meditation. Prepare your cradle for the Christ child now. May God bless you with the gift of Christ in your consciousness this holy Christmas day, with deepest blessings from the Master. Isn't Master wonderful? His mother said she learned more about Christ and real Christianity, what she called Christianity, from Master. She thought we shouldn't be Christians, we should be Christians. There's an important meaning in that. Reading from St. Luke, chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Sirius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of this lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while there were the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there is no room for them in the inn. And there was in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God on the highest, and on peace, on earth, peace, goodwill toward all men. I'm going to read from a talk that Mother gave in 1960 when she was in New York, speaking at Carnegie Hall. Meaning of Mystical Crucifixion Experiences. Now, in Kriya Yoga, we deal only with the mystic Christ. But the teachings of Jesus, the example which is vital for us to know. And this has a definite bearing on Kriya, very definite. And I'll point this out to you. Some of you have heard part of it, others of you none of it at all. And I want you to have all of it. It is a very wonderful story. And Swami Ram Dass, when I told him what God had given me, said it was expressed very beautifully. The sacred cloister and Santa Claus, the Christmas tree, and the Garden of Eden. Right under your brain is a sacred cloister, or claustrum, the Latin, from which sacred oil drops. Now this claustrum was formerly called St. Claus. Then it became Santa Claus, he who gave all the gifts of the Spirit. Then, as it says in Revelations, there is one thing that you have that I feel also, and that you hate the Nicolaitans. That's from Revelations. Those are the ones who put up all the attention on material things. And so gradually we come to worship old Saint Nick and the material pleasures that are put underneath the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree, the true spiritual tree, is the spine. This is the tree from which Adam and Eve ate the apple or succumbed to the sex urge. It is all within us, ourselves. The Garden of Eden is in the spine. When we become one with God, we are constantly drinking this bliss, this nectar, which pours from the thousand-petaled lotus, which is on the top of the head, where God the Father resides. Mary and Joseph glands, land of milk and honey. Now let me tell you a story of Mary and Joseph. On the posterior side of the thalamus gland, in your head, is the pineal gland. Now this is the father gland, or the Joseph gland, the male gland, which takes on a honey-like substance. The oil drops from the sacred cloister, and it takes on a honey-like substance. On the anterior side of the thalamus is the pituitary gland. It is the mother gland. Some of this is cut off here, so I can't read it. Something gland, or the female gland. Mary gland, thank you. And it takes on a milk-like substance. And we are told in the Bible that the children of Israel wanted to return to the land of milk and honey. So you can see the connection. And as it says in the Bible, the head is the church. It doesn't say the church is the head, but the head is the church. This is the head. This is the temple of the living God. And as I have told you, everything in all the scriptures was given to show you the chemical, psychological, astrological reaction within yourself as you find your oneness with God and Christ within yourself. A Christ seed, Bethlehem, Star of the East, and the tax. Now, once every 29 and a half days after puberty, usually at the age of 12, there is a Christ seed which drops from this sacred cloistrum or cloister. It is carried in the female gland. Both glands have furnished the substance. This is the tax money which Mary and Joseph have to pay when they went to Jerusalem. It is a substance that carried this Christ seed. Now they went there, and the three wise men saw the coming of the Christ, the birth of the Christ, in the east, right here. And she touches her forehead. Let thine eye be single, and thy whole body shall be filled with light. From Matthew. Now some of the agnostics say this is absolutely impossible, that a star should be over the cradle in the manger in Bethlehem. That, in effect, we are getting at a human consciousness, the ability to move, actually the intelligence to go over a certain place. But you see, they are wrong, because actually the Star of the East is over the manger, because it is here in the center of the forehead. And as this substance and the Christ seed come downward, this Christ seed is put into a conical-like cave behind the solar plexus. This is Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem in Hebrew means house of bread. So this Christ is born of the holy bread, a virgin birth. And there is nothing physical about it. This is the mystical Christ which is being born within yourself. And so birth takes place. The second coming, the inner sun and moon, the spinal centers, and birth pangs. Now this is given, you see, also in Revelations. It says that there appeared a great wonder in heaven. We know that the kingdom of heaven is within. It is there that the Christ will come a second time out of the cloud of our own consciousness when we are ready to receive him. A woman clothed with sun, this is a quote from Revelations, and the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, it's said that the solar plexus is the moon of your own being. And the sun is the light in the third eye, is the sun of your own being. And when we know that when death takes place, the eyes automatically cut off this material or synthetic light which they see and go backward to the source of light within their own being, to the soul. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered, from Revelations. Now you actually, she was standing then over the solar plexus here in this conical-like cave. And upon the head, a crown of 12 stars. You see all the spinal centers, each having two deities in it, to lit for the occasion. Now, this is a very real experience when it happens to you. I can say this because I've experienced it in my own being. And now, having had 3 children of my own, I went through the actual pains of labor. I don't think I could understand this until the Christ was born within myself. King Herod, Egypt, crucifixion at the heart center. Then Herod, hearing that the Christ is born, immediately wants to cut off all the heads of the male children in order to get that one Christ seed. As you know, the spermatozoa and ovum hold many, many seeds. But there is this Christ seed, which is born within you only once every 29.5 days. If that is dissipated in sex, naturally it is dissipated. You have only so many master seeds. You must remember this. And so Herod, the king, can be likened unto the passions. This passion comes within yourself and wants you to dissipate this life force within yourself so that you will lose or kill this Christ seed. Now Mary and Joseph, being advised that Herod was trying to do this, fled to Egypt. Now from this, part of this is cut off, so it's difficult to read. Now some of, from the, I can't read this word, up is Israel and the New Jerusalem. From the solar plexus down, from the solar plexus up is Israel and New Jerusalem. From the solar plexus down is the land of Egypt or darkness. And it talks about being under the law. The 3 lower spinal centers are under the law or under the control of all the material things in your world. The heart center, which is the dividing center between the 3 lower centers and the 3 upper centers, it's a neutral ground upon which you must crucify your own ego. Body is the cross, the way of the spine and kriya. Now, as I've told those of you who have been here before, and I will repeat it for those who have not, he himself, as he stands with stands upward with his arms outstretched and his feet together, is the cross upon which we must crucify his own ego. Every technique, everything that Master gave to us will accomplish this purpose exactly. You must go by the way of the spine. Now let me read what it says here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now what Master has said, that the only true way to God is by the way of the spine and through the 5-pointed star, which is in the center of the spiritual eye. So we must keep this in mind in everything that we do. You see, the purpose of Kriya is to teach you how to revolve the life force around the spine and through the brain. Now, when you are able to do this successfully just once, you will have the same development physically, mentally, and spiritually that you have in 1 year of ordinary living. Now, this is tremendous. Think of the number of incarnations that Master is saving you from being born in. This is a tremendous gift to humanity. Tremendous. So this is what I am telling you. To establish is to, by doing Kriya and by taking this life force up the spine, will also, when you have accomplished this within yourself, and that I have been discussing, take this Christ seed up. And this will help you to do it much more readily. In other words, the way of the lessons are written. There is no indication of what actually happens within you as far as the mystical Christ is concerned and what the spiritual purpose of all this is. You see, by doing what my Master said, I have attained this realization of God. He said, I have not come to give you Yogananda realization, but your own realization. He also made the statement that the blind cannot lead the blind. He said, instead of being doctors of divinity, he calls them doctors of delusion. You must have experience before you can teach others with authority. No teacher can give you these things unless they have experienced them within their own being. The Galilee, the Red Sea, and the two fords. So after the passions have subsided, or King Herod is dead, then Mary and Joseph take Jesus back to Galilee. Now the word Galilee means circuit. So he started from here, and he went the journey down into Egypt, and now he is going to return. There are two fords in your body. One is at the base of the skull, over which the seed passes and goes through parts of your body. The other ford is at the base of the spine. And so, like it tells about Moses taking the Israelites through the Red Sea, at one time during the month, this period, this ford, something, and Mary and Joseph and the Christ seed and all the good tendencies or children of your kin go with them. And all those who are good are cut off, who are not good are cut off and drowned in the Red Sea. Jesus in Egypt, Tibet, and India. So the next thing we hear is Jesus is 12 years old. And this is too is the age of puberty. And so if within you, in effect, comes to life, he starts to have intelligence, to know what life is all about. You can be taught about God and his purpose for being here, which is only one, and that is to find God, become one with him within yourself. So he confounds the priests of the temple through his wisdom. He asks them many, many questions. And then we do not hear about him for 18 years, but it's said that he was in the temples in Egypt, India, particularly in Tibet, learning to be a master. Now we know that he had great power. We know that he could heal the sick and raise the dead, that he could still the waters, that could also be, he could something, a few fish, and a few loaves, turn a few fish and a few loaves of bread into enough to feed a multitude. That he had this power showed that he was one with God completely. Sorry for the interruptions there. It didn't print out so that the end line of the line was there. Mother, of course, was born on Christmas Day. And she came with this great purpose, as she said when she met Master. He taught her more about Christ and Christianity than she had learned in all the years previously, having grown up in the Catholic Church. I think that there are two things that are missing in current-day Christianity. One is the real purpose for which Christ came, which was to teach all mankind that we have inherently within us a kingdom of heaven. As he himself said, the kingdom of heaven will not come with observation. It will not, you won't say, lo, it's over here, or it's over there, you see, out through the senses, out through the eyes. It will not come with observation in that way. For God and the kingdom of heaven are within you. This message that God and the kingdom are within you is the most fundamental of his teachings. It must be understood that within every human being is a tremendous capacity. We have these seven centers within us that are the spinal centers. They are the primary powerhouses. Now, there are other sub-powerhouses within the system. When I was in my year of silence and solitude, one of the things that I was revealed within me was this tremendously intricate network of very subtle astral nerves that in yoga are called nadis. And these subtle nerves run throughout our body and even extend beyond it. Within the spine, there are these sub-powerhouses. For most of us, we operate out of the three lower centers which deal with this body and the world of the senses. When great masters have taught about the truth of what our existence is all about, they have all pointed out that in reality, this world existence is like a dream when compared to the awakening of this inner reality, the spiritual reality. As fascinating, as wonderful, as beautiful, as perplexing as this world is, it is but a small, small aspect of our total nature. However, most people are completely focused on this world as their be-all, end-all. And as a result of that focused attention on this world, they remain ignorant of the greater spiritual world that exists within them. This is the great delusion. It is what in yoga is called maya. It is the delusion of separation. And when that ignorance is displayed on an individual level, it is called avidya. It is the lack of knowledge, the lack of wisdom that is within us. The coming of Christ was foretold in the Old Testament, the coming of a great Messiah. Now, many of the leaders and the people in general thought that this Messiah would come and lead them to a military and political and economic freedom, a freedom of the world. And that was their focus of attention. They wanted to throw off the yoke of the people who ruled them at the time of the Romans. And so their whole attention was focused on this world. But you see, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then I would have had many warriors. I would have had people here to protect me. My own disciples would have taken up weapons and carried out the battle." But that's not the focus of my attention. The focus of my attention exists beyond this world to this inner heavenly kingdom. Now, Jesus says that in the kingdom of heaven, the lion and the lamb lie down together. This is not a welcome message by most Jews of his time because they wanted to pick up the sword. They wanted to take the power and control of the world back into their own hands. And doesn't that describe most of us? We would like to have control over this world. We would like to have this world go the way that we would like it to go. But this inward kingdom of heaven is not about having all the material things and all the material power that you might wish to have. Rather, it is about awakening this inner consciousness, this inner freedom, where the lion and the lamb, the aggressive part of your mind, and the peaceful, more calm nature of your mind, equally lie down together into this unified field of consciousness, of peace and bliss and joy. The inner warfare that is constantly going on within you, the demands of your body, the demands of your mind, the demands of your emotion, all come to a halt. And if you could imagine a great body of water that is constantly agitated by winds, and suddenly the winds die down. The winds are your desire nature. And as the winds die down, the calm of the water becomes very great indeed. It becomes mirror still on the top. And when that water becomes calm in this way, the water then can reflect the mountain, the stars, the moon, the sun. The stars are those spinal centers, those powerhouses within you, fully illumined, fully awakened. The moon, as Mother described, as the solar plexus, and that is the place of intuition. The sun is the third eye point, and it is that place where you perceive the perfect unified light that is the substratum of all creation. This is the Christ light, the Christ consciousness that exists right within your own being. You see, it is hidden from most people. There's a wonderful story about a disciple of Yogananda's who goes to Swami Ramdas, and he asks Swami Ramdas whether he would be his guru or not. Swami Ramdas says, "You already have a guru in Yogananda." He says, "Oh, yes," this is after Yogananda had left the body. He says, "But my guru is dead." Swami Ramdas shot back very quickly and powerfully, "He is not dead, you are dead." We are dead. We're dead to that inner light, that inner consciousness. We're sleepwalking in this life. It does not mean that this world is bad or wrong. It just means that to put all of our eggs in that basket, so to speak, limits us to such an extreme degree. There exists within every one of us this powerful consciousness, this unlimited source of consciousness. And yet, most people are thinking about when they get home and they are able to watch the football game, or what they're going to be doing next, or what they're going to be eating next, and the mind is always off on the world. You see, it's such an addictive thing, isn't it? Such an addictive thing. And that is the human state. It is the human state. It is what all of these sacred scriptures and mythologies are all about. This is no small task. To go beyond the things of the world, to go beyond the addiction to the senses. The mind gets absolutely panicked when it thinks about going beyond this world of the senses, going into our true spiritual nature. And so the Herod nature comes up. Herod are those passions that come up and try to distract us from going within. And when that is successful, then we are diverted from that. And we go out into the world, and as Sri Yukteswar says, the world is once more our guru. Not a very pleasant taskmaster. Because the world promises everything. It promises happiness and fulfillment. If I just had this, if I just had this amount of money, then I would be happy. If I just had a minivan, then I would be all right. If I just had a lover in my life, a husband, a wife, if my children only behaved, then everything would be smooth. Everything would be perfect. But you know what? That perfection never comes. Not permanently. Not in a way that brings us the absolute fulfillment. Certainly we get a certain amount of fulfillment by living in this world. But for every promise fulfilled, there are many thousands that are broken. Jesus said that the devil was a liar from the very beginning. Now, he's a liar and a thief. And why is this? It is that delusive nature. It is that idea of separation. And it promises us that we will find our complement. We will find our fulfillment in this world. And that never comes. That day never comes. And so it is a liar and a thief because it steals our life away. We're always dreaming about what might be, what could be. But it never fulfills itself and it steals our life. One time in deep meditation, I remembered waking up from a lifetime, on this side of that experience we call death. And waking up from a lifetime and looking back over my life and just berating myself. I just thought, oh no, I spent an entire lifetime being lost. I forgot what I was there for. I was so determined when I came into the lifetime to remember this time. And I didn't. I got lost into the details of life. I got lost into all those things that preoccupy us. And I forgot why I came. I forgot my real purpose. And I was so upset with myself. And I realized that I had had many lifetimes like that. And many times of waking up and thinking, oh, it's so easy to get distracted, huh? It's so easy to go with the current of the senses, of the life energy going out through the senses. It's such a well-worn path. And it always promises us that it will deliver on its fulfillment. And yet it never really happens that way. But if we are fortunate, if grace comes into our life and we are awakened to some extent, at least to the extent that we know that we're on a spiritual path, we know that there is something beyond this world of the senses to attain to, and we put our mind and we put our will toward it, and we start to make progress towards that. It may not be everything that we want, depending upon our ability to concentrate, depending upon our willfulness in putting our mind straight and putting our lives straight. But if we can make that progress, Krishna assures us that no effort is lost. No effort is lost. Whatever we gain in this lifetime will be carried forward to a future lifetime. But how much better, don't you think, is it to get that realization this lifetime? So that we get the freedom, so that we're not bound to this body. If we choose to return back to this world, it is out of choice. It's not because we are bound to this body through habit. But rather we gain the freedom in our spiritual consciousness that gives us real and true freedom. Now the world of the senses promises pleasure, but all of its pleasure is fleeting. When we get this soul joy awakened within us, we get real pleasure, real love, not a love that's conditional upon somebody else behaving in a certain way, but a love that is self-existent, a love that comes into our hearts and doesn't leave, a love that goes beyond any personal consideration. It is the universal love of this Christ consciousness. Or what in yoga would be called Kutastha Chaitanya. It is that universal divine principle that will awaken itself within us. Now this may seem like a distant dream to some. But even if it's a distant star, as the three wise men started out with, searching for that ultimate realization, still if we follow the star, you know, it's a little silly to think that you can follow a star and get to some location in the sense that it's standing right over the top of it. But as Mother says, in a mystical sense, this is the absolute truth. When you concentrate here, you see that star. And that star is right over Bethlehem, right within your own solar plexus, right within your own body. And it is there that this inner Christ awakens within you. How beautiful, how wonderful. It is absolutely perfect, and it all exists within you. Now, it is fitting that we celebrate the birth of Christ in this year. From a historical perspective, they say actually if the shepherds were out tending their flocks, that'd probably be more around the birthing time of the sheep, which put it more in March and April time. But it's been combined with this winter solstice. And I think that's wonderful because it is the ending of a year in a symbolic sense. We're winding down the year. It's the shortest daylight out of the year. And the yogis tell us that with the cycle of the year comes unique opportunities to meditate deeply. That there is a changing in the currents within the earth. And there is opening towards higher consciousness. one of the things that I've always noticed is that the beginning of December up until the middle, this happened for years for me. It was a time of great turmoil for me. There's a stirring up, but then when the solstice came, it was like the door was open and a great sense of peace would come to me. Now, some people ascribe this to holiday blues and things like that, which I think plays a role in it, but there is also a deeper phenomenon going on. There is the movement of these subtle vibrations throughout the world, and it stirs things up in the subconscious mind. But then it creates this opening, this doorway, into a greater awakening. So it is fitting that this anniversary, that this celebration, that the marking of the birth of this Christ consciousness within each one of us should come at this time. So we should, with all of our ability that we have, to clear some time away from our busy schedules, to learn to dive deeper. You know, when this consciousness begins to awaken in you, you feel every cell of your being lifted up in this consciousness. You feel the bliss, you feel the love, you feel the joy. You feel the illumination going into all the corridors of your mind and your heart and your soul. You feel yourself lifted beyond this body and the concerns of this world, and you feel the absolute freedom there, the freedom of soul. And this is the promised. This is the promise of the birth of the Christ within you. It is your fulfillment, your real fulfillment, the fulfillment of what Christmas and the birth of Christ have brought to you. It is not unique to Christians, and it is not unique to the West. In the East, they have known this for years. They have acknowledged and looked for the incarnation, the divine incarnations, and they come. And they do come. And they have even continued into our day. And these are wonderful. And these great beings come into this world in order to help to awaken us. But there is even a closer and more significant meaning than a divine incarnation in a historical sense. And that is the awakening of the divine within you. And so on this Christmas Day celebration, my greatest wish for you is that this great Christ consciousness should awaken within you, this great light, that it should shine within your soul, be reflected in every cells of your body and all of your being, and should lift you up into your oneness with that all-pervading, all-powerful, all-illuminative consciousness. That it is the true reason for our taking birth, for our taking incarnation. It does not mean we need to turn totally away from this world, but to live our lives in balance, as the Buddha said, the balanced way, the middle way. Not being too extreme one way or the other, but not losing ourselves to this world. Don't lose yourself to this world. Hold a part of yourselves separate, back from this world, and let it ever be united with your infinite beloved, your infinite Lord that is right within you, so that you might wake up from this incarnation and not look on it with any shock or awe, in the sense that you feel like you've blown it, but that you feel like you've really fulfilled the true reason of why you incarnated. And you'll have no regrets in that. Going to hand out version here of Silent Night. And it's one of my favorite songs. And this is a little different translation. As the story goes, the words were written in poem already. But the church organ was broken one night, and they're going to have their mass for Christmas. And so the priest took the words to the choir master, and he put it to music. And I think these are, perhaps these slight variations in the words will awaken something in you. I think they're quite lovely. So, let's start. Silent night, holiest night, darkness flies, all is light, shepherds hear the angels sing. Alleluia, hail the King. Jesus the Savior is here. Jesus the Savior is here. Silent night, holiest night, guiding star, lend thy light, see the eastern Magi bring gifts and homage to our King. Jesus the Savior is here. Jesus the Savior is here. Silent night, holiest night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing. Feel the awakening of that peace and that light and that joy. That is Jesus the Savior is here. Isn't that wonderful? Please join me in the closing prayer. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet. And surrender myself to thee. The power of thy perfection. Surge in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with Thee.
Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He. Bliss.